Hello, everybody, and welcome to Just Nas Science Podcast, where each episode we find the worst science-related posts on social media and get just a little salty about them. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Nick. And with each episode, we have three goals. The first is to promote higher thinking. The second is to educate. And the third is to make you laugh. This is a comedy podcast, after all.
So COVID-19 is still the top story in the news, and we're going to continue to cover it and provide the most up-to-date information as it becomes available. So this episode will be broken up into three segments. The first one, we have information about the disease, the number of cases, and how to prevent getting sick. And the second is myths surrounding COVID-19, with the last segment on why containment matters and the P word.
Ooh, the P word. For anyone not familiar somehow with the coronavirus, this is a new strain of coronavirus, with the first epidemic appearing in Wuhan, China. The symptoms are reminiscent of the flu, and there is currently no cure, and treatment involves mostly rest and hydration. For more severe cases, protection against organ damage is what healthcare workers are going to focus on. Though vaccines are currently being developed, they still need to go through safety testing and efficacy testing, and then mass production before they're given to the general public. We're going to cover that a little bit more later. I just wanted to bring it up right up front.
And as a reminder, coronaviruses are common, and most people have been exposed to one in their lifetime. So approximately 20% of all cases of the common cold do come from coronaviruses. So what makes this new coronavirus called COVID-19 so special? All right, well, it's pretty much the number of people it's infected in a short period of time.
So the first documented case was at the beginning of December 2019. And now, March 2nd, only a few months, couple months later, there are, Lauren, Lauren doesn't know the most up-to-date number. And I want her to give her best educated guess as to what it currently is. Keep in mind that the numbers I have are from 8:40 p.m. Eastern, March 2nd, 2020.
Am I guessing the number of infected right now?
Yes.
90,000.
Can you get even more specific?
90,123.
Jesus, you are fucking close.
Really?
90,925. How did you know that?
I said 90,100.
I know, you were fucking close. You were off by 800. That's really good. How did you know that? Did you see my notes?
No, I swear I didn't, but I just, last I heard, was 89,000.
Oh, shit. Okay. So, roughly, how many deaths have there been?
Worldwide?
Yes.
3,000?
Give me more detail.
Okay.
3,123.
3,125.
What the fuck?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, I just keep this guessing bitch, 123.
She's a fucking a witch.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, the microphones aren't on.
Did you look? No, I didn't look.
Oh, shit.
I really didn't.
So, there's about 91,000 current cases and just over 3,000 deaths. So that gives us a mortality rate of about 3%, meaning 3% of the people who get sick with COVID-19 are expected to die. Most of the deaths are from older patients who have some underlying health issue, like some respiratory illness.
Which, weirdly enough, when I think we mentioned this in earlier episodes on this, is that children really aren't being affected by this like yes, they usually are.
But they can still spread it.
Yeah.
So
those germ factories.
The last time we reported on this, we stated that the mortality rate was around 2%, and now it's over 3%. And that number is expected to change, and it's expected to continue to change. It might increase, it might decrease. As patients get sick, more people get sick, we'll get a more accurate, real reflection of what the mortality rate is. If only very sick patients get sick with the coronavirus, then the mortality rate is going to be higher than what it really is. So the more people get sick, the more accurate the numbers become.
Not that that's what we're hoping for.
No, but if we're
letting you know how it works.
Yeah. If people are going to get sick, well, then we might as well get good data.
Okay, so you may be wondering, what is the current status here in the U.S.? And so far, there have been over 100 confirmed cases, more than half from the Diamond Princess cruise ship, as I'm sure most of you have heard in the news by now about that catastrophe. And 6 COVID-19 related deaths in the U.S. Is that the most up to date?
Yes, it is. I do want to note that 4 of those deaths are from a nursing home in Washington State. So again, older patients who probably have some underlying condition.
But interesting enough, the first death, though, was in the U.S. was from a community without any clear connection to travel or contact with people who have been exposed. So this is called community exposure, meaning we don't know how they got it. Though keep in mind, this U.S. patient, like many others who have died from COVID, was in his 50s and had underlying health conditions. So there are reports that it's possible the virus has been spreading there for weeks in the U.S. with up to 1,500 people exposed. But yeah, I was kind of in my free time today, like looking at some articles on this. And I think because testing wasn't as strong or it wasn't as readily available in the U.S. sooner, that it has been like silently spreading through the U.S. and much more people are exposed than they realize. Because as they continue to test more people, obviously more people are coming up positive.
Yeah, the more rigorous the screen, the more likely you are to yield positives. What's interesting is that laboratories are becoming more and more frustrated as this goes on because they don't have the proper tests to actually analyze these samples that they're getting. So the last I heard, outside of the CDC, there are only 12 laboratories that can actually do COVID-19 testing. And it's only in 5 different states.
New York is one of them, right?
I don't think so.
I thought I saw something from the governor saying that we had approved testing. But
they might have gotten kits from the CDC. I don't know. I don't want to say anything about that.
Yeah, I'm 100%
sure. But the point is that there's not a lot of confirmed testing, or if there is, it has to be sent out and that can take time, so people wind up being held in quarantine, or they're not quarantined and they're spreading the virus to more people. It becomes a real problem. So the CDC and the US government are telling Americans to prepare for this virus to be a real outbreak and to take necessary precautions, and rightfully so. But what are those precautions and how can we best prepare ourselves?
All right. So one of the first things you can do is to limit any non-essential travel. So recently, the Trump administration placed travel restrictions on Italy, Iran, and Korea due to spikes in confirmed cases. And they are in the thousands at this point. You always want to stock up on medicines. Like ideally, you should have at least 1 month's supply of essential medicines like blood pressure or cholesterol medicine. So you should only buy fever reducers like Tylenol and pain reliever like Advil.
You should also, not only.
Oh, sorry. You should only buy fever reducers.
You said it again. One more time.
You should also buy fever reducers like Tylenol and pain relievers like Advil. So, Nick, what's the reason why people think to stock up on this stuff? To reduce their trips to the pharmacy or other people who are infected maybe? Or
not even that. It's partially, like you just said, to reduce.
Or if you get quarantined, you have it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's to reduce travel, to reduce areas where a large amount of people are, like grocery stores, pharmacies, doctors, hospitals. You don't want to be there if you don't need to.
This sounds like a great opportunity for Express Scripts, where they deliver it to your house, though.
Yeah, and Express Scripts usually delivers 3 month supplies, if not longer. So go them. But yeah, also the last thing you want is to actually get sick and now, it's hard for you to leave your bed or your house because you're either quarantined or you're just generally not feeling well, and you need something to take care of yourself and to make yourself feel better. So you want to have these things on hand.
So basically, I really hope your dad has a lot of supply of his medicine on hand.
He doesn't.
And then obviously another good one is also to try to have at least 2 weeks' supply of non-perishable foods, canned veggies, soups, cereals, and other box foods. which we are terrible with. We pretty much are on the verge of starvation at the end of every week.
It's
can't get it right.
It's so insane to me that I spend so much money in groceries and yet never have any food. It doesn't make sense. It's
freaking wild.
Like, you would think I buy like 7 boxes of Pop-Tarts and we're just like hungry all the time. God. At this time, the CDC and Surgeon General are requesting that you do not buy surgical or other types of protective masks. There have not been any studies suggesting wearing masks actually helps healthy people stay healthy. Wearing a mask without any symptoms might even put you at a greater risk because of how often you touch your face to adjust it. So, people who wear the mask incorrectly or without a proper seal, meaning if it's not fitted perfectly flush to your face, say you have a beard or something like that, you can still get sick. So please, please, please reserve face masks for those who are either sick or healthcare workers who are in constant close contact with sick people and also know how to wear them.
Yeah, my friend who lives in Japan, like just recently this summer, moved there for work. She said that there were reports of people like breaking into the hospitals to steal these masks. Like, God, like, come on, what are you doing? And then when I was in the city the other day, I don't know if this guy was wearing a mask for like coronavirus purposes or maybe he was a doctor and just got off work. I don't know, either way. It was so ill-fitted to his face. It was laughable. And I was like, what is this, like a fashion trend? Because I could clearly see your lips from here. So like, it's like nothing is being prevented right now.
Was he wearing like around his neck, like against his chin?
No, he like had it on his face, but it was like, I don't know. It was a windy day. Maybe the wind blew it off to the side, but I was like, that is not doing anything.
And
except making you look like a fool.
And you said maybe he was a doctor who got off shift, but any doctor will know that they have to remove any PPE prior to leaving the floor they're working on.
Yeah, but I've seen it not happen so many times.
And I've seen oncologists smoking cigarettes. I know, but, you know, well, I'm trying to, you know,
back
instill
at
a little faith here.
You want to cut me off a third time? Or so back at the zoo.
I just wanted to.
Back at the zoo, when we were trying to artificially inseminate the orangutans, they would bring in doctors.
What a fucking segue this is.
They would bring in like OB doctors and stuff, and sometimes they would show up with like their booties still on and like PPE they just forgot to remove because it was a long day and they were tired. And I always wondered about that. Like, could you be spreading anything? I mean, OB is not really dealing so much with infection. I mean, it's possible,
but they're still walking around the hospital where people are infectious. Yes,
absolutely, Nick. Just trying to play devil's advocate here.
No, tell us more about how orangutans get knocked up.
This is for definitely another episode.
How do the rest of us keep from getting sick as we transition back to the serious news? The first is to, as we mentioned before, limit travel and avoid large congregations of people. Places like sports games, concerts, and other large venues pose the highest risks.
So second, you want to wash your damn hands. So we discussed the proper hand washing method in episode 14. So if you're not sure of the best method, please go check out that episode. I will also post a video on our website demonstrating the best practice. Actually, I'll probably make Nick do that. So if soap and water are unavailable, you can use some alcohol-based hand sanitizers until you're able to wash your hands, which is always the best method.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that the hand sanitizer you're using is at least 60% alcohol.
So lastly, stay the fuck home when you're sick, okay? I know it's tough when you have a demanding job and you really need to get the kids to soccer practice, but seriously, if you're sick, stay home. It's the best way to contain any pathogen. So it was recently discovered that a postal worker in Seattle was infected. So while this individual themselves did not handle mail or have direct contact with customers, they could have potentially exposed coworkers who then could potentially come in contact, obviously, with like hundreds of people.
Well, I think that facility in particular doesn't handle mail. I don't know what they do, really.
So what kind of freaking post office is this?
I don't know. But what I do know is even if they aren't going door-to-door delivering mail, what they are doing is going to the grocery store, going to, you know, church, going wherever they're going throughout the day.
So, yeah, I think the main takeaway from this is that everyone has the potential to infect hundreds of people.
I think the main takeaway is don't go to church. I really thought that's what you were going to say. And also, I believe that.
Shut up.
A large part of our show is to debunk myths and misconceptions about science. And the coronavirus has so much of misleading information or just straight up lies and false information. It's really important that we discuss it. Some of this revolves around the press conference that the president gave on February 26th and other things I've seen around the internet. First, there was a survey that showed 38% of Americans wouldn't buy Corona beer, quote, under any circumstances, end quote, at the moment. It's important to know that people who frequently drink Corona beer, only 4% of them said they wouldn't buy the beer. But it's, either way, it still clearly comes from a place of ignorance and a total lack of understanding about why it's called the coronavirus. Coronaviruses have on their surface proteins that make the appearance of a crown. And Corona is Latin for crown, so that's where it gets the name.
So in case that wasn't clear, they wouldn't buy Corona beer because they think it has something to do with spreading the coronavirus, which is just insane.
I thought that was pretty clear, but thanks for...
And also, an Italian politician blamed Chinese people for the spread of the virus because they do things like eat live mice.
Which is not true.
So he since apologized for his statement and claims he meant that foods and culture change across countries.
I understand they have their animal markets where they might have some exotic meats, but come on, give them a little more credit than eating live mice. Anyway, Trump, in his recent press conference, said that the number of cases of coronavirus is actually going down, not up, which couldn't be further from the truth, obviously. The CDC's deputy director has come out and said that the aggressive containment strategy the U.S. has implemented is working and responsible for the low number of cases, but they do expect the number of confirmed diagnoses to rise and that people should prepare. We've already talked about that. The number of confirmed cases is steadily rising. So, you know, clearly Trump was wrong about that. And I do get where he's coming from. You know, the whole idea is to not instill panic in people, but you still have to tell the truth and be informative.
Right, because then otherwise it can make people mistrust the government and feel like they don't know what they're doing. But when you were just talking about, like, people should prepare, it does remind me of a meme I saw where it was like Bane walking out with his arms spread and it was like the coronavirus. And then some guy in like a pink leotard onesie being like Karen with essential oils. Oh.
I have seen that. It's very funny.
Yeah. So this is maybe one of those times where you may want to stick to the Western medicine in this case and the proper precautions and not just be like, my crystals will heal this. Like, just let's be smart about this.
Trump has also said that we will, quote, essentially have a flu shot for this in a fairly quick manner, end quote, which is really misleading. I pointed out before that we still need to actually develop a viable vaccine, and then it has to undergo safety and efficacy trials before mass production. These trials can take months, and the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases said that the best case scenario, a vaccine will be ready in 12 to 18 months, and won't actually help the current epidemic. In actuality, the vaccine would help prevent this infection from resurfacing in the future.
And lastly, the president cited a study from Johns Hopkins where he boasted about the U.S. being at the top of the list for preparedness. He did, however, leave out the part of the study that placed the U.S. at the bottom for access to healthcare due to lack of governmental assistance and high out-of-pocket costs. So while we have good plans to try and contain the virus, clearly it's not airtight, as was suggested. And once you get sick, you're on your own.
Here we are at our last segment, the implications for public health and the P word. The P word here isn't the fun one, it's pandemic. which is a scary word. But really, all it means is an illness that is widespread across the globe.
Yeah, that's all it means.
I mean, that is. Some people argue that we've already reached pandemic status, but no such declaration has been made. So why isn't the World Health Organization calling this a pandemic? Well, it's basically to prevent people from panicking. The word pandemic has such power behind it that it can be dangerous to use it carelessly. But nothing would really change if a pandemic was declared by the World Health Organization. Honestly, the World Health Organization doesn't even declare pandemics. What they do is call a public health emergency of international concern, which they've already done. This allows the WHO to make recommendations on how countries should handle an epidemic and helps get funding and political support mobilized.
And it's also really important to consider the impact epidemics have on the healthcare system. I know it's really hard to skip social events and work, but if you get sick, you really want to limit the number of additional people exposed. The burden of, you know, overflowing hospitals places on healthcare workers is just immense. You know, public health is called such because it affects everyone. So we do have to do our part to help contain the virus, and that includes proper hygiene and hand washing and staying home and sick, you know, and limiting non-essential travel and avoiding large congregations of people if possible.
That's going to do it for us today. If you enjoyed this episode or found it informative, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and especially share it. It takes literal seconds to hit subscribe and click the 5-star review button. And it would mean a whole lot to us. Positive ratings and shares on social media is the biggest way you can help us spread this good science to even more people. I also frequently post to Twitter or retweet things I find in the news that are especially important, so follow us on social media for current news and information. Our handle is @JustNASScience for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also check out our website at JustNASScience.com to read blog posts, check out other shows we are on, and read published articles, or even submit questions and topics for future episodes.
And as always, thanks again for listening, guys. We put out new episodes every other Tuesday.
Later, nerds.
Later, Gator.